This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on November 30th, 2006. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item on our agenda is a sua sponte policy. And we have a late submitted agenda document. Commissioner Mason.
Mr. Vice Chairman, I move suspension of our rules concerning the timely submission of documents so that we may consider agenda document 06-79.
Commissioner Mason has moved suspension of the rules to permit the consideration of agenda document 06-79. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Madam Secretary, the motion passes by a vote of 5-0. We have On the record here, Mark Schottweiler and April Sands to present this document. And I see Ms. Sands here at the table.
Thank you.
Please.
Good morning. Before you is the proposed policy statement regarding self-reporting of campaign finance violations or sua sponte submissions. Self-reporting of violations typically allows respondents to resolve their civil liability in a manner which has the potential to reduce the investigation burden on both the commission and themselves, demonstrate their acceptance of organizational and or personal responsibility and commitment to internal compliance, and conclude their involvement in the commission's enforcement process on an expedited basis. This proposed policy statement clarifies the Commission's policies and procedures regarding self-reported violations of the Act and Commission regulations, and announces the availability of a new fast-track resolution procedure that will be available under certain conditions. The Commission seeks to provide appropriate incentives for respondents to cooperate and assume responsibility for their actions. As a result, this proposal also outlines the criteria the Commission will use when considering whether to reduce the civil penalty that is sought from a respondent. The Commission is seeking comment on this proposed policy statement and has set January 29, 2007 as a deadline for submitting such comments. I'm happy to discuss any questions or concerns you may have.
Sam? Any discussion on the matter? Commissioner Mason?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank the council's office for working long and hard on this. This is another item that's been kicking around for a long time. Particularly to note that this rather compact little document was considerably larger at one point, and for good reasons. That the council's office went through very comprehensively and looked at what we had actually done with sua sponte submissions, and a lot of the complaints we got from outside counsel, I think if we felt at liberty to sort of put all of our internal procedures and considerations on the record, would have been significantly satisfied. But we wanted something that was compact enough for people to grasp easily and that really focused on the respondent side rather than the internal side of the matter. And so we had a long road to get here, and I appreciate the work that went into it. I just want to highlight one element for which comment would be meaningful for me, and that's on the penalty reduction. And this was at the initiative of Commissioner Weintraub, and her recognition is one that I share, that one of the things the respondent counsel say is, well, what concretely can I get? You're telling me you'll be nicer to me if I self-report, but what can I count on? And I understand that request. At the same time, I'm a little reluctant to have a policy that gets us trapped in a structure which might not be appropriate in certain circumstances. That is to say that these submissions come in all shapes and sizes, all manner of fact patterns, and it's simply not possible to predict in advance every twist and turn. In fact, one of the things that strikes me about these sua sponte submissions is that in almost every case there's something unexpected that happened that caused there to be a violation that was not uncovered. Somebody embezzled money. Somebody had some little side deal going. Somebody was seeking to do something perhaps for their own interests and not for corporate interests. There's all kinds of different things going on. And so it really isn't possible, in my view, to structure a proposal that's simply going to let you go down a checklist in every instance and say, okay, we've done everything, and this is going to be a number that comes out or a percentage that comes out. So the short proposal to set roughly a 50% civil penalty reduction with significant flexibility up and down is frankly the one that I prefer, recognizing, however, that the concreteness of the other proposal may be attractive. And I hope people will look at that and comment both on the specific criteria that are offered, whether those are the right ones, whether we've identified everything, if there are ways that we can build in sufficient concreteness to give people some sense of incentive to use this procedure, but also retain some degree of flexibility. And just to illustrate with a particular example, in the criteria for 75% reduction is the requirement that respondents took appropriate corrective action, such as disciplinary action against any persons responsible. Well, what's appropriate corrective action? What I don't want is a structure which has us arguing over the procedure and not over the substance. And of course, it could be any item, but my point is that that I don't want to, on the one hand, mislead someone who comes in and says, well, we put a letter in that person's file when what the person did was really bad. At least we think it was. And maybe the person should have been fired, or maybe the person should have been referred to the criminal authorities. And so I don't want to mislead anyone as to the judgments that we might make in that regard. And, as I say, I'd rather focus on the substance of the violation and on the substance and substantiality of the remedial efforts rather than on how they fit in a very precise way into these standards. And so I think the argument could be legitimately made either way as to what's best, and so I really wanted to highlight those issues as ones that I think are important for people to comment on as we settle on a final policy.
Further, Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. I also want to thank the staff for all their hard work on this and for all the commissioners who also participated. I think that, once again, we have a very collaborative document that we've produced here, and it will be even more collaborative once we get comments from folks. There are a few aspects of this that I want to highlight. One is, this is, I don't want people to misperceive this. It's not meant to be a get-out-of-jail-free card. This is for true sua spontes. That's the term that we use here. If you're being investigated by another government agency, if the newspapers are full of allegations of your misdeeds, if you're racing to the FEC three steps in front of the guy who's got the complaint in his hand against you, this policy is probably not for you. I mean, if you come in and you're cooperative, then we're likely to consider that a mitigating factor, but that's not what we're talking about here. What this policy focuses on are people who come in and tell us things that we would not otherwise know. And the question in our minds was, what can we do to provide incentives to people out there in the world who know they've done wrong, not to sweep things under the rug and hope nobody notices, but instead to try to come in and get right with the law? And we want to provide a structure whereby their lawyers would feel comfortable saying, yes, if you go and fess up to the FEC, if you come clean with them, they will deal fairly with you. They will consider the fact that you've come in and told them something that they wouldn't otherwise known, and you'll get some benefit out of that rather than sort of hiding and hoping that you don't have any disgruntled employee who's going to, rat you out before the five-year statute of limitations runs in. Go on in, get yourself right, learn what you need to do to clean up your act, promise not to do it again, and the agency will take that seriously, that you're being forthcoming with them. I think it'll lead to a more fair, again, more transparent, more effective process. We'll end up with more disclosure of political activity because we will get people to come, if it works, if people agree that it works, we will get more people coming in and telling us when they violated the law than we otherwise would have. And I think there are two key aspects to this. One is the fast-track procedure, where you avoid the RTB finding and come in and just come clean with us, and we'll negotiate a settlement agreement based on that. I'd like to hear from people whether they think that's a good incentive. Does that appeal to people? Is that enough of an incentive to make them want to come into the agency and tell us? Then there's the aspect that Commissioner Mason pointed out, where we are offering some fairly concrete benefits in terms of penalty reductions. And there's a couple of different proposals in there, and I think there's concrete and more concrete. There's specific and more specific. In the proposal that Commissioner Mason was talking about, even that is far more specific than anything we've ever said before on the public record. That, you know, come on in, and if this is a legitimate sua sponte and you're cooperative with us, we're looking in the range of 50% off the penalty. I would think that would be an appealing incentive to somebody. There's another proposal in here, and if you look at page 8 and 9, we get a little more detailed about, you know, how these factors play out. If you do X, Y, and Z, you get a 50% discount. If you do, you know, really go overboard and do everything that we can conceivably think of to get right with the law, you might get as high as a 75% discount on the penalty. Again, these are options that we're considering, and we want to get comment on them and hear from folks as to whether they think these are good incentives. Because my goal in all of this and everything we do is compliance. I view this like everything through the prism of my experience as a parent, and we're all parents at the table. It happens sometimes that one of my kids will come to me and say, you know, I did something wrong, and I feel really bad about it, and I won't do it again, but I'm feeling very guilty about it, and I don't want to lie to you about it or try and conceal it anymore. And they get points with me for being honest. You know, it's not that I'm happy that they broke the rules, but they get credit for that, and I tell them that because I want them to come forward and tell me these things. And I feel the same way about the agency, that if I told my kids, well, thanks for sharing, now go to your room until you're 21, you know, they're not going to be honest and forthcoming with me. I think we do have to offer some incentives to people. They have to know they get some benefit out of this deal other than just the relief of clearing their conscience. And I hope that these kind of ideas will provide those kinds of incentives, because we'll end up with better disclosure and better compliance in the end.
Mr. General Counsel.
Mr. Vice Chairman, I just wanted to say a few words, if I could, about this.
Please.
This is an initiative that I was very interested in from my earliest days here at the Commission, and I took note that a couple of other federal agencies had done something along these lines, the Justice Department and the SEC, and it struck me that this agency in particular would benefit from adopting a policy of this kind to make what we do more transparent, particularly because our cases are all resolved in a conciliation agreement that is really just a contract between two parties. There's no order that's issued by the Commission that explains in extensive detail why we handled the particular self-reported violation the way that we did. And so this is really an opportunity to let the community know that we consider a whole range of things in evaluating self-reported violations and in weighing factors and in considering the benefits that ought to be provided at the time of conciliation. I know that there is some skepticism about whether it's worth coming forward and whether the Commission is really providing some benefits to the respondent. And I think this will help address that and convince respondents that in fact, there are any number of incentives. We have, for at least the length of time I have been here, doing many of the things we describe on the second and third page of the document. We have been refraining from making formal, knowing, and willful findings in certain instances, even where the available information would support making a finding like that. We have many cases where we've decided to proceed only as to the organization rather than as to various individuals where that's appropriate. We've done the reverse in other cases, and we've certainly included lots of language that indicates the level of cooperation. And we have substantially reduced the penalties. And I think that's been the least transparent thing of all, in part because Well, I agree with Commissioner Mason that these cases come to us in all manner of size and stripe. Some of the more notorious ones come to us because there has been a systemic and broad organizational breakdown, often running up to the very top of the organization, to the president or the board, and often involving what we consider to be the most serious violations of the act, coercion, conduit schemes, and the like. And so while the penalty may reflect some serious reductions, and while there may be other accommodations in the agreement, these sometimes are the cases that garner the headlines and are some of the more significant cases the Commission settles. So I think explaining a bit more about how what I want to emphasize, we've been doing to a large extent for a number of years, but making that transparent so that people can understand it better. And I think just to underscore Commissioner Weintraub's point, you know, money in politics has just simply exploded over the last number of election cycles. The size of our organization has remained relatively static. We don't have regional offices across the country. We're by federal government standards, a relatively small agency at 300-plus. Our Office of General Counsel is about 125 or 30, and we've got 60-odd people doing enforcement work. We can't be the cop on every corner. We're required by law to deal with every complaint that comes to us in some manner, and unlike many other agencies, we can be sued by complainants if we don't deal with it quickly enough or to their liking. And so I think that to the extent that we're able to provide some inducements for self-policing and self-reporting and promote that, it's a very important part of the entire compliance picture. So I think this is a very important first step, and I'm pleased we're doing it. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you. Further comment? Commissioner Mazbikowski.
Just a couple of things. I certainly agree with Commissioner Weintraub, and I have to say, Commissioner Weintraub, if we keep agreeing like this, the political world in Washington is going to think the earth is tilting on its axis. Encouraging voluntary compliance by the vast majority of the regulated community is essential to the effective functioning of any law enforcement agency, so the agency can spend its time and resources on those who deliberately ignore or violate the law. This sua sponte policy is not going to weaken our enforcement, as I've heard one or two critics say. It's going to strengthen it because it's going to provide incentives to the regulated community to self-report violations and errors and to take corrective actions to make sure that those kind of mistakes don't happen again. As the general counsel said, I mean, we've mitigated penalties for years in many of these cases without publishing this policy. Increasing the transparency of our determinations and how we look at these cases helps both the regulated community and it enhances our ability to carry out our enforcement duties. In my experience, most members of the regulated community, the parties, the political committees, the candidates, they want to comply with the law. I mean, the publication and implementation of this policy is going to help them do that. Of course, we're still going to investigate and we're going to prosecute all complaints and referrals we get from the public and other agencies, and we're going to continue to severely punish knowing and willful violations and other problems with the law. But there's no law enforcement agency in existence in the U.S. government or anywhere else, as the general counsel said, that has a cop on every corner. And we don't have the resources to find and discover every single violation of law that's occurring. So providing incentives for self-reporting is going to increase compliance with the law, and it's going to lead political actors to implement procedures and policies that both remedy those violations and prevent future ones. Without such a policy, the incentive is for people to instead hide and not report violations and hope that they can get away with it, which makes enforcement more difficult. And I want to note for the record, Mr. Vice Chairman, that although the chairman is not here today, he has been an essential part of the development of all of these policies, and I know that if he were here today, he would be voting in favor of all of them also, and I wanted to note that. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, often reminded in these sort of settings of a quip which I've heard attributed to Mo Udall, which went something to the effect of, everything's been said, but not everyone said it. So with that, I'd like to note that you know, that I agree with a lot of what's been said today. We have under 400 employees working for this agency who are responsible for regulating the activities of over 8,000 political committees that raise and spend over $3 billion per election cycle. And so there's no doubt that voluntary compliance is the centerpiece of the enforcement of this statute. And then whether it's fair or not, there is a sense among practitioners in Washington that very often the worst penalties, the harshest penalties this agency assesses are assessed against people who come in and self-report violations. And the thinking goes that is because people arrive, admit to violating the law, and surrender all defenses, and a penalty formula is then rigorously applied against them. And I think that what is clear today is that there is unity here, that is not what we're trying to do, and that is not the incentive system that we believe should operate in this area of the law. And the hard question that we've been wrestling with, and we are now framing for the public through the notice and comment period, is how do we go about achieving that result? And I want to underscore the comments of Commissioner Mason, because I think he highlights one of the great difficulties we've had in struggling through the drafting process of this policy. And that problem presents itself in my mind in two forms. One is, how concrete are we? Do we adopt a system that has a relatively clear and rigid set of percentage reductions for a relatively clear a set of behavioral patterns, things that people can do and sort of check the boxes and say, therefore, we have earned a discount of X, Y, or Z? Or do we adopt something that is more or less clear, more amorphous, but that provides more opportunity for the particular facts and circumstances that present themselves, and frankly for innovation on the part of the people who are trying to remedy the violations and tailoring their reforms or their remedies to the particular problems that present itself. And we have struggled internally, and now it will be up to the public as well, to the degree they wish to comment, to struggle as well with what system is most likely to be effective, because we would like to increase the number of sua sponte submissions. We would like to increase the number of instances in which people who are become aware that their organization has committed a violation of the law feel that they really should come and make a sua sponte submission to this agency and anticipate that that the consequence of that will not be the most severe form of penalty. So the first thing I think that would be very helpful to the degree that people could focus on is the question of how clear and specific are the guidelines we set forth, and how much of them are driven more on the facts and circumstances, with sort of ranges that can be applied in a more informal pattern. And the second question is, to the degree that we are setting clear standards, what exactly is the behavior that we want to be measuring? Whether and this has come up most clearly for us in a number of cases where organizations have found a particular kind of violation and then have begun a process of more thoroughly self-auditing themselves and looking more extensively, sometimes over several prior years, to see if they can find even more violations and see whether there are patterns or practices in their internal operations which did not comport with the law. But as a consequence, then produce far more in the way of potential penalties by being more thorough in their self-examination and reporting. And so so I think that to the degree that we get some sort of clarity from the outside community on those two questions, it will be enormously helpful as we work forward in trying to think through exactly what this policy should look like in a final form. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Commissioner Weintraub?
Mr. Vice Chairman, Mr. Acting Chairman, I would like to move that we adopt agenda document number 0679, that we authorize the General Counsel's Office to make whatever technical and informing amendments are necessary, and that we send it over to the Federal Register and seek comment.
Thank you. Commissioner Weintraub has moved the adoption of agenda document 06-79 and empower the Office of the General Counsel to make any necessary conforming and technical amendments and to proceed to have that published in the Federal Register. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you can record that Commissioner Weintraub's motion has passed by affirmative vote of 5-0.